Kanban guide, in my opinion, the section on definition of workflow is probably the most important section. If you don't understand your definition of workflow, a lot of other things don't really work that well in Kanban guide as a result. Nothing wrong with what's in Kanban guide, it's just that if you don't get that part, it's going to be difficult to really make progress. And in Kanban guide, we talk about having a definition of workflow. So for a start, you need to have a definition of the kind of work items that might flow through that system. Some people use stories, for example, features, experiments, or whatever. What kind of items might be going through? You don't need to have work item types per se in Kanban guide. They're optional. In non-software, they are more useful to reduce antibodies from people. People tend to say, well, some things take longer than others, and it's often a debate not worth having in the early stages, because there is actually some merit in non-software where some different work item types do take different lengths of time. But putting it very simply, you need to define what kind of work goes through the system. One thing is clear, we do not have fake work items going through the system. In other words, you don't have items that don't deliver value. So in other words, each item should deliver value, or at least we hope it will deliver value. Our idea is that it will deliver value. So as soon as we deliver it, we can confirm whether it did deliver value or not. But we have the potential to release value, whether that's customer value, end user value, market value, organizational value, societal value, maybe a reduction of risk, or it could be learning. On the definition of workflow, you need to have at least one started point and one finished point. There's no limit really to how many started points and how many finished points you can have. Some finished points can overlap, some started points can overlap. You can even have a started point at the start of a column and a finished point at the end of a column. That's completely okay, totally acceptable. It's just that whatever you have as your started point and your finished point, you will have four measures to go along with that as well. So there'll be work in progress, what are the items that are in between the starter point and the finish point, throughput, how many work items are passing the finish point per time period, and you'll have work item age, which is how old are the items, how much time has elapsed since the items start past the started point and they have not yet hit the finish point. And also cycle time, how long does work item take to get from the started point to the finish point. For each started point and finish point that you have, you will the four metrics will apply for each of those ranges. So if you've got a started point here, finish point there, another started point here, finish point there, the four measures will apply here and they'll apply there also. You also need to show on the definition of workflow the steps through which the work needs to go through in order for value to be delivered. So from the starter point to the finish point, are there steps that the work needs to go through? The most simplest definition of workflow of them all might have a starter point with one column and then a finish point, and the work just takes as long as it takes to get through that column. There might be a column as well for the where the work goes past, where it is actually delivered, and we call that throughput. Throughput would be the measure of how many items get past the finish point in a particular period of time, be it a day, a week, a sprint, or whatever. On the definition of workflow also, you need to have explicit policies to demonstrate how work gets through the system. Kanban guide isn't explicit about this, but you might have, for example, like a start or replenishment policy. So how do you decide when items come in past the started point? You might have a prioritization policy in terms of which item would you select if you were to start, which item would you start? You might have a pull or move policy, so for all the items that are in progress, if someone has capacity, which item will they work on next? It's not always necessarily the item that you were just working on. You might have a policy that says it's based on, for example, relative item age, or you might say we're going to focus on blocked items first and aging, and then we're going to look at some other considerations. Also, you could have, for example, a policy for blocked items. So when are items blocked? What do you do when items are blocked? How is work in progress affected when items are blocked? Do we include blocked items in our WIP limits? Or do we have some exceptions where if, for example, an item has been blocked for 60 days and we made all the phone calls, sent all the emails, shook the tree, nothing's happening, we're thinking of cancelling the item. So now we're saying, okay, maybe we need to put traffic cones around this. We actually do want to exclude this item from our WIP so we can take in another item. your blocked policy could be explicit about this situation. You could also have exit criteria or entry criteria per column on your definitional workflow as well. And this makes it really clear to the Kanban system members when an item is supposed to move, for example, from one column to the next one, how do we know that it can legally do that? Sometimes Kanban system members ask me, is it okay for this item to move from that column to that column? I say, well, what does your policy say? Well, it actually says we need to do X, Y, and Z. I say, well, have you done X, Y, and Z? And they say, no. Well, it has to stay in the column unless your policy is wrong. Of course, you can update your policies on a periodic basis. You can do it at any time, in fact, but we tend to reserve changes of explicit policies to retrospectives, informal sessions where we consider how we can work better as Kanban system members. We also need to consider how WIP will be controlled between the started point and the finish point. By which means are we going to ensure that work in progress doesn't go over a certain amount? You might have, for example, work in progress limits over certain columns, on certain swim lanes, if you use swim lanes, on the active columns, for example, between the starter point and the finish point. There's all sorts of ways you can control work in progress, but the team needs to be explicit about that. In addition, there needs to be a service level expectation, which is essentially an aspiration for how long items would take to get from the starter point to the finish point. It's not a service level agreement, it's just that if we take an unstarted item and we think about starting it, based on probabilities, what's the likelihood based on previous cycle times? How long is that item likely to take? We can either use an aspiration, we can base it on a guess, or we can use it based on historical data. My preference is to do it based on historical data so that we are using data to inform our decision making. That said, when Kanban system members think about taking an item in, they probably will look at right-sizing the item. Kanban guide doesn't mandate that, but it would probably be recommended that you would look at the item and say, well, does this feel like it fits within our SLE? If it doesn't fit within our SLE, then maybe we need to break it down. One other point that I would just want to make clear about Kanban guide, you can have more than one definitional workflow on your Kanban board. And in some cases, that's really recommended. You might have different types of work going through the system, you might have different customers. I don't know what the situation is, you have a different context, but there might be some reason why swim lanes wouldn't be enough to kind of segregate the work, where you actually might need different, almost like different Kanban designs, if you like. So you can actually have more than one definitional workflow on a Kanban board. You might have operational work, you might have investment work going through the board. And it might make sense that actually there's different columns, for example, for those different definitions of workflow. It might feel a bit too artificial having all that work going through the same definitional workflow, because actually the work doesn't quite fit that workflow. There are other ways, of course, as well. You know, if you had a paper board, for example, or if you had a whiteboard, you put crosses through the columns or the boxes, the cells, where they don't apply for this particular type of work. But on electronic boards, we tend not to have that flexibility. So we tend to have an extra definitional workflow for different situations on the same Kanban board. Another example of that would be flight levels, for example. You might have operational boards for individual teams on a value stream, for example. And you might have a coordination board going across a value stream. And you might have a strategy board for new investments coming in, informed by what's already in progress at the coordination level. So there's lots of reasons why you might have more than one definition of workflow on a Kanban board, and it's completely legal to do that, and I would say sometimes expected. Thank you.